Our New Testament lesson is Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. Please listen. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Word of God for the people of God.
Pray with me. So into these moments we call the work of your Holy Spirit. Calm our minds and set those things aside which would distract us from you. Peak our ears to hear the voice that speaks your word of truth. And claim us entirely, that we might be your children of faith, and take on the mind which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose holy name we pray. Amen. Does anybody ever ask you, penny for your thoughts? Generally, that question comes about when they're with you and you're somewhat distracted, preoccupied, looking off in the distance as if there was something more important than the issues which surround you. An invitation to center on what's running through your mind, your heart, and your belief. The past several weeks, we've been exploring the qualities of a disciple, and out of those imageries, we come today to the mind of Christ. We started first in those moments of mercy where we acknowledge who is our neighbor and how would we extend mercy on behalf of Christ. The second week we looked at selflessness, how Christ took on human form and lived among us and gave us that model to care, to set aside our own agendas and do the will of God. Last week, we discussed how prayer was the cornerstone in the midst of that life as a disciple and how it can form and shape us. This morning, we come to the text of Paul's appeal to the Colossians and an invitation for you and me to take on the mind of Christ. And the passage begins by that question, if you've been raised with Christ, so have you? Is that where your mind is going? Those of you who have vivid dreams often can look back in those moments and recognize where you got that kernel of dream in some event that happened earlier in the week or in the day. It's not just something that you had that creatively came into mind. No, it was some kernel that was planted by some event that now comes into your subconscious and begins to be a vivid moment in your dream life. We can chuckle at times where those things come from and how those enter in and how strange it is that there would be such a thought that occurs. Yet you and I would have to ask ourselves, are there ways in which we can intentionally invite thoughts into our subconscious and into our thought patterns? Can, in fact, we do what Paul invites us to do, to set our minds on higher things? And if so, how would we as disciples live such a life? You and I can understand that for Paul, there are some overarching themes that are found in virtually all of his letters. They're communicated not to just one specific group or one specific issue, but they are broad, general theological constructs. And in those constructs, you and I recognize that there is language when Paul writes about the cross of Christ. He sets that as a first and foremost for any mind of believer, that we would recognize it's the sacrifice of Jesus that's invited us into the very presence of God. There's that diverse image of the nature of the gospel that Paul speaks about, that there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, but all are one in the body of Christ. And then there's this image of the mind of Christ, a place in which our thoughts and our heart's desires are lived out, formed and shaped in such a way that you and I would lay claim to that gift of God and the very mind of Jesus. Now, if you're a bodybuilder, would you think that the only thing you need to gain strength and equip yourself is to eat junk food? You all chuckle and you know that's ridiculous. The 4 candy bars that you ate yesterday may not be the diet that will lead you to health and vitality. And yet so often we who are Christians believe that somehow we don't have to put healthy, vital images of God through our minds. We can just get it like junk food. That's why probably first and foremost, the way in which you and I take on the mind of Christ is to have it centered on God's Word. Unless you and I begin to let God's Word shape us every day, and I have given you text for this coming week, all images out of Paul's letters and out of the Old Testament on the mind of Christ. Ways in which you and I can plant a seed, and hopefully it might come up in our dreams. It might show up in other thoughts and in other actions. It would allow us to then put as a priority the way God's mind begins in us as we start with God's Word. We listen to its majesty and its text, and we then begin to shape our lives. If we can't begin our day with such a word, maybe we put it on our smartphone on an app that in comes the Bible verse of the day. Maybe we spend time and moments in devotion and prayer, reading an Upper Room devotional, or just spending a couple quiet moments asking, Lord, what would you have me do this day? Instead of running about looking at that list of all the goals and objectives, the tasks that are required, and the calendar events that are yet to come on a very busy and hectic day. Or maybe at the end of such a long and hectic day, instead of just collapsing in utter exhaustion, we would just take a brief moment and hear God's scriptural word. Until we as disciples begin first and foremost to let God's word speak through our minds and our hearts, we'll be embattled by other messages and other messengers instead of the very word of God that reveals the mind of Christ. Tom Jacobs, not a Christian author, he's a song critic, did an article back in March of this year in which he identified that pop cultural music, in which he examined 168 of the top songs, 99.8% of those songs had violent messages in them. Think of that. The top music of our day, when you casually turn on the radio or let a song come through, the chances of it having some kind of positive, life-developing message is 0.2%. Jacobs also observed, nearly 25% of those top songs of contemporary music, 25% of them will objectify and dehumanize women. Think of that. And yet somehow we're amazed that in a culture in which we live, we have such levels of violence and such harm towards women. You and I would wake up to recognize, how do we put on the mind of Christ? Sometimes those songs just play in the background. We're not even aware of them, and yet they still instill within us a different mind of the world and little of the mind of Christ. You and I might as well understand that in these moments, in this day, not only do we as disciples need to use the Word of God to take on the mind of Christ, but we recognize how that develops. How that Word of God doesn't become a weapon out of which we try and put into our arsenal of quick whips and understandings, but we use them as guidelines and boundaries to shape and form us and to enliven our conversations. I have to confess to you that rarely when I have an opportunity to meet a friend or a church member for coffee, do I allow the devotional moment of the day start the conversation. I confess, like maybe all of you, when I arrive at that table side and I sit down with my coffee and theirs, we immediately start the agenda items we set the appointment to do. We get distracted by our agenda instead of just taking a few moments and say, hey, this word spoke to me this morning. What do you think about it? How would it make your life different if we lived it out together? And how would it make mine different? Oh, it is far easier to run the agenda of the world than to set our minds on the things that are above. And you know, how many of you have taken on those wonderful gifts called readers? When our eyes begin to fade and our vision isn't quite as crisp, maybe you've been at the eye doctor where he's spun the lens two or three times and say, now, is that better or is this one better? Is that one a little better? Is that a little sharper? You know, these readers for me are but a crutch. I don't need them, my brain tells me. But when I look at the menu or the bulletin or even the hymn book, when the shadow of the day is near, things don't look quite the same. And then I begin to look in my pocket, and normally I can't find them there. I pat on my head because I leave them up there at times, and I don't find them there. Those are the moments that I recognize at times it's easier for me to set Jesus Christ aside as just simply readers than to understand that when we take on the mind of Christ, we look at the world through the eyes of Christ, not our eyes, not our failing agendas, not our political parties, not our purposes or our judgments, not our understandings or our insights, but the mind of Christ. Which if you look at the last of these series, I'll prompt you to what the message might be for you at the end of the week. It's one of my favorite texts of the mind of Christ. It's Paul's lesson to the Philippians. You'll find it in that list for you this week. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equally with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. When we take on the mind of Christ, we see his humility, his submission to God's will, his desire and purpose to let nothing, not even death on a cross, to separate him from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we come to the Lord's table. Not Armstrong Chapels, not the United Methodist Churches, not the Christian Fellowship, but Christ's table, the Lord's Supper. And when we feed at that table, we who are thirsty will be satisfied. We who are hungry will be filled with good things, the psalmist prayed. We will know Christ's mind for us and for the world. It is not our body that is broken, but is his. It is not our blood, sweat, and tears that are shed. It is his. And when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we remember the mind of Christ. And we see one another in that capacity and in that amazing love. Will you pray with me?